Hi, welcome to the Growth.me summary of The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. This book is a crucial read for entrepreneurs, explaining why 80% of small businesses fail and offering invaluable strategies for success. It teaches us how to get your business to run without you, using systems and processes that will reduce your work and stress. It shows how to work on your business, not just in it. Looking at the online reviews, on Amazon, it has 4.7 stars, and on Goodreads, it has 4.1 stars. The positive reviews often mentioned that there were valuable business insights in an accessible writing style, but there were some critical reviews who said there was repetitive content and some dated examples. So let's begin. Are you struggling to turn your small business dreams into reality? If so, you're not alone. But what if I told you the key to success isn't just hard work, but a shift in strategy and mindset? Welcome to the world of The E-Myth Revisited, a book that redefined what a successful business should look like for countless entrepreneurs. This approach isn't theoretical, it's practical, proven, and powerful. Just like Ray Kroc transformed a local hamburger restaurant called McDonald's into a super efficient global empire, we can also build systems and processes in our business, and that will give us the freedom to work less while getting more done. So who is Michael E. Gerber? He's a giant in the world of business education, recognized by Inc. magazine as the world's number one small business guru. His consulting company has taught hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs how to organize and better manage their companies. So let's jump into lesson one, which is the E-Myth explained. The surprising truth is that most small businesses are started not by entrepreneurs, but by technicians. Did you ever wonder why so many small businesses crash and burn? The statistics may shock you. 80% of small businesses fail within 5 years in America. Michael E. Gerber explains the reason behind this. He says, it's not always about the product or the market. It's about a little-known concept called the entrepreneurial myth, or E-Myth for short. This is the game-changing idea you never knew you needed to hear. The E-Myth is the mistaken belief that most small businesses are launched by entrepreneurs. In reality, they're often started by technicians who are excellent at a particular job, but are clueless about running a business. Picture this. You're fantastic at what you do, maybe baking cookies or coding websites, and you decide to start your own business. Sounds great, right? You'll get to be your own boss, set your own hours, and do what you want. Gerber calls this moment the entrepreneurial seizure. But soon, you're drowning in 14-hour workdays, struggling to find clients, and having hiring headaches. You thought you were escaping a boss, but instead you've trapped yourself in a far more demanding job. The E-Myth is not about the lack of drive or intelligence. It's about the dangerous assumption that being good at a technical skill equates to understanding how to run a business built on that skill. It's a common trap for skilled professionals like accountants, lawyers, and designers who venture into business ownership. Yes, they're excellent at their craft, but running a business? Most don't realize that's a whole different ballgame. So what's the solution? It's about building a business that doesn't rely on your constant involvement, a business that can run without you. So it's about creating automated systems and processes that others can operate and follow independently of you. To sum it up, mastering your technical skill is just step one. Building a business that can thrive without your 24/7 presence, that's the real mark of success. Now, there's another very popular book for small business owners called Traction by Gina Wickman, which goes into more detail about how an entrepreneur can overcome those growing pains to keep their business moving upwards. And in that book, a key strategy is developing these five key leadership skills in yourself and your managers. Here's a quote from that book. Above all else, your leaders need to be able to simplify, delegate, predict, systematize, and structure. End quote. So if you want to learn more details about that, check out our summary of Traction by Gina Wickman on Growth.me. But let's return to this book and the first lesson. Here's a quiz question for a quick review. In the context of the e-myth, the primary reason many skilled professionals fail in business is their assumption that blank. So guess the answer. Is it A, hiring is easy, B, technical skills equal business success, C, capital ensures success, or D, marketing is unnecessary? The answer there is B. The primary reason many skilled professionals fail in business is their assumption technical skill equals business success. So moving on to lesson two, the three business personalities. Every business owner must balance their inner entrepreneur, manager, and technician. Here's a little known secret about running a successful business. Michael Gerber says every business owner is actually three people squeezed into one, which is the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. Getting these three inner personalities balanced right can make all the difference to unlock incredible growth in our companies. So let's dive deeper into each of those one by one. First, we have the entrepreneur. This is the visionary, the dreamer, the strategist, the part of us that thrives on change and lives in the future, constantly creating new ideas. Second, we have the manager. This is the pragmatic planner. They bring order and consistency to your operation, living in the past and clinging to the status quo of what was done before. And third is the technician. This is the doer, or more to say, the do-it-yourselfer. They live in the present and live for taking action now. So balancing these three different roles is critical for any business owner. And most new business owners, says Michael Gerber, lean heavily towards the technician role about 70% of the time because they do come from a technical background. Like imagine a plumber who starts their own business. Most of the time, they'll start out still doing plumbing rather than the management, marketing, or accounting parts of their business. Now, connecting this to another book about Steve Jobs, in larger companies, this balance can come from having multiple people in the right leadership roles. Take Apple, for example. Steve Jobs embodied the visionary entrepreneur. Steve Wozniak was the brilliant technician, welding circuit boards, and Mike Markula was the pragmatic manager. Now, you may be asking, Mike who? Well, Mike Markula is almost unknown, but Apple wouldn't exist without him. He was the first investor in Apple and owned about one-third of the company. Later, he would become their CEO and chairman, and Markula deeply influenced how Steve Jobs approached business, telling him not to start a business for money, but for, quote, making something you believe in and making a company that will last, end quote. So if you want to learn more about how Apple became successful and how Steve Jobs thinks about business, check out our summary of his biography, Steve Jobs, by Walter Isaacson. Now, returning to this book, a related key concept is the three stages of business growth that each entrepreneur must pass through. The first stage is the infancy stage. So here the focus is more on that technician aspect, where doing the work is most of it. So this part of the startup business is like having a very complicated and frustrating job, and the goal at that stage must be to evolve beyond reliance on the individual owner's technical skills. Next, the second stage is called the adolescent stage. This is where the manager's role becomes vital as the company begins scaling up. This stage often begins with hiring the first employee to manage tasks the owner can't or doesn't want to handle. And the third stage of a business is the maturity stage, when it reaches a point of having a clear vision and purpose. The emphasis shifts from merely doing the work to following a more sustainable, long-term strategy, making the business operate efficiently and effectively as a whole. So a great example of these stages in action is IBM. The founder, Tom Watson, had a very clear vision for IBM from the beginning, and he understood that a successful business is built on the right foundations, regardless of its size. As he famously said, a big business is simply a small business that did the right things. And that mindset was crucial in IBM's rapid evolution from a small business into a global powerhouse. So it illustrates the importance of not just starting a business, but starting it with a vision and strategy of a mature, successful company, and that means keeping your roles balanced with the entrepreneur and manager, not just the technician. So let's finish up with a quick quiz question. In the growth of a business, transitioning from the infancy to the adolescent stage requires a greater focus on the blank role, often marked by the first employee hire. So is it A, investor, B, technician, C, entrepreneur, or D, manager? And the correct answer is D, manager. And that brings us to lesson number 3, work on your business, not in it. Implementing systems for scalable success like the McDonald's franchise model. Ever wondered how Ray Kroc grew McDonald's from a single outlet to a global empire? Well, he didn't do it by flipping more burgers. Kroc's real secret sauce was this: working on his business, not in it. This approach, my friends, can be a game changer to any entrepreneur. You see, back in 1952, Ray Kroc, a milkshake mixer salesman, saw something special in a small restaurant run by the McDonald's brothers. Now, they had already tried and failed to franchise it, but Kroc saw the potential for something much bigger. Kroc's vision was not about selling hamburgers, it was about selling a business model to franchisees. Fast forward 40 years, and McDonald's has over 25,000 locations worldwide, each operating identically to deliver the same experience anywhere. That consistency and predictability were what set McDonald's apart. So while 80% of independent businesses fail in the first 5 years, an astonishing 75% of franchises succeed. Why this stark contrast? The answer, says Michael Gerber, lies in the power of systems. Franchises like McDonald's thrive on a business model that is orderly, consistent, and predictable. And that's a testament to a powerful truth in this E-Myth book, which is the system is the solution. It's not merely about the product or the people, it's fundamentally about how the business operates, with systems being the cornerstone of success in the franchise world. So how can we apply this to our businesses? Well, we can imagine your business as the prototype for the next 1,000 stores in a national franchise. This means building your business not as a one-off, but as a model for an entire chain. So this idea, this franchise model, teaches us to create systems that are, number one, delivering consistent, predictable value to customers, and number two, ones that can be replicated thousands of times, even by employees that are not superstars. We should always remember that any individual employee can leave for any reason, so we should not make our business dependent on a specific person with exceptional talent or unique skills. So what's the ultimate takeaway here for small business owners? It's about stepping back from the day-to-day operations and focusing on working on your business, developing those strategies and systems that make it run, rather than getting lost in the nitty-gritty of daily tasks. This shift from hands-on work to strategic thinking is what transforms a small business into a scalable, sustainable empire. In short, systematizing your operations is the key to turning your business into a success story like McDonald's. And speaking of McDonald's, in Ray Kroc's own biography titled Grinding It Out, he reveals the insane level of attention to detail that went into perfecting McDonald's systems. Take something as simple as the burger patty. Kroc and his team spent years fine-tuning everything, from the burger's size to its fat percentage to the exact grinding method. Even something as simple as the wax paper between the burgers had to be optimized. Too thin and it sticks to the burger, too thick and your burgers are sliding all over the place. As Kroc wrote in his book, you must perfect every fundamental of your business if you expect it to perform well, end quote. So to learn more about his story and approach to business, check out our summary of Grinding It Out by Ray Kroc on growth.me. Let's finish this up with a quick quiz question. In the franchise model, the primary focus to achieve business scalability needs to be blank. Is it A, replicable systems, B, unique products, C, new marketing strategies, or D, personalized services? The answer is A, replicable systems. And that brings us to lesson number 4, which is how to build systems, creating systems and processes for every role so you can get out of it. Do you ever dream of a business that runs smoothly without you micromanaging every detail? Well, it's not just a dream. In the EMA3 Revisited, there's a blueprint for that, for systematizing each aspect of your business. And guess what? It can be a lot simpler than you might think. So here's a step-by-step overview of how to build these systems. Step 1 is to sketch an organizational chart. Picture your business in 5 years. What size is it? What roles are needed? Clarify your vision with this chart. Now, at first, your name might be in every slot, but the goal will be to create systems that are clear and effective so that almost anyone could step into that role and achieve the same desired end result. The next step is to define responsibilities, standards, and procedures for every role or position in your chart, and do this starting from the bottom up. So what are those? Responsibilities describe their specific tasks or roles. Standards set the quality and benchmark performance benchmarks. And procedures outline the step-by-step processes to be followed. And the third step is to put together an operations manual. This will allow you to keep track of all those systems in one place. Think of this manual as your business's playbook, containing checklists, templates, and scripts. And here's the golden rule. Follow each system exactly as it's written down every single time. That is what will make your business consistent in being efficient and effective. So now let's move on to another point, which are the 4 types of systems that you'll need to be making. The first type is for your core operations, basically how you do what you do in your business. Think of it like a recipe book for your business, how you get results for your customers or clients, such as McDonald's, having a specific order that ingredients are put onto each burger. The second type is for hiring and training people. These are your processes for recruiting and educating new team members so they can use those core systems effectively and understand your company's values from day one. The third type is monitoring and optimizing systems. These are for constantly reviewing and refining your business processes, kind of like a coach fine-tuning a team's strategy to improve efficiency over time and to fix any big issues. And the fourth type are business development systems. These are strategies for growth and expansion to scale your business upward by exploring new markets and opportunities. So we'll talk more about this one in the next section. So this approach of implementing systems isn't just about getting tasks done. By doing this, you create a culture of continuous improvement, transforming your business into a self-sufficient entity that grows over time, even by itself. In short, building systems is about transforming your business into an entity that operates independently of any single person's expertise, including your own. It's your ticket to stepping back and watching your business run itself on autopilot. So here's a quiz question for review. In building systems for your business, the operations manual should primarily consist of blank. So guess the answer. Is it A, financial forecasts, B, your organizational chart, C, checklists, templates, and scripts, or D, branding guidelines? The answer is C. Your operations manual should primarily consist of checklists, templates, and scripts. Now let's go to lesson number 5, which is about business development mastery, creating a process and a program to grow your business into new areas. So here we'll be diving into something that could be a game changer for many businesses, mastering the phases of what Michael Gerber calls business development. This isn't just about growing your business, it's about making sure it aligns with your ultimate vision for how you want your life to look like. So the first part of this is called your business development process. Michael Gerber breaks it down into these phases, these 3 phases. The first phase is innovation. This is about testing new ideas to clarify the unique value proposition your business will offer to customers. It's about experimenting constantly to find what resonates best with your customers. And it's similar to the lean startup approach to creating value. If you're interested in that, we have a summary of the lean startup as well on growth.me. Now, the second phase of this process is quantification. This is where we dive into the numbers and metrics to understand what's really working. And the third phase is called orchestration. This is about ensuring consistency by doing the same thing the same way every time. So it's about reaching that mature stage of the business. In this stage, what people do in your business is dictated by the system, not their choice or discretion. And that creates a lot more simplicity and order in your business operations. So the second part of business development is your program. How do you turn those three phases into a concrete program? So Michael Gerber offers several steps for creating a business development program. So let's go through these really quickly. The first step is to find the primary aim. This is about what's your big vision. So this is about you, the business owner, your values and aspirations. As the self-help author Stephen Covey said in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, that we must begin with the end in mind. So we start with a vision for our ideal day, and then we practice making it real every day, building our business with this at the core. That brings us to the second step of the business development program, which is your strategic objective. So this is about what does your business need to achieve for you to realize that primary aim. It's like a blueprint for your future business, including your profit goals and what size company that you want. The third step is your organizational strategy. So this is about sketching out your organizational chart with those clearly defined roles and relationships. It's building a business based on functions in each role, not around people with unique talents. And if they leave, then your business will be devastated. Fourth step is management strategy. This is not about having amazing individual managers, but again, about having a system that produces reliable results, and that includes an operations manual with checklists for each roles, and that will help you have standardized management. Next step is your people strategy. So not just about a few hours of training, but about immersing your employees in your vision, making them feel part of something larger and creating a sense of community and purpose. Next step is marketing strategy. This is about understanding who your customers are and why they buy. That's also called demographics and psychographics. And what these might be, who your customers might be, can be much different than what you think, says Michael Gerber. And the final step is your system strategy. This is about recognizing that everything in your business is part of a system. That includes your hard systems, which are like inanimate things like servers, your soft systems, those are living things like your employees, and also information systems, that is the interaction between those two. So to sum up this bigger lesson, business development is about creating a holistic strategy that aligns every aspect of your business with your ultimate goals. It's about building a business that not only works, but allows you to thrive. And let's wrap it up with a quiz question. In the business development program, the blank is crucial for defining the personal vision that shapes all the future goals and strategies of your business. So what is crucial for defining that personal vision to shape your business? Is it A, strategic objective, B, primary aim, C, organizational strategy, or D, people strategy? And the answer is B, your primary aim will shape your vision of your business. And that brings us to the final lesson, number 6, which is the customer's viewpoint. Understanding the real definition of a successful business. If you think your business is just about the product or service you offer, think again. The real game changer is seeing your business through your customer's eyes. And this perspective shift isn't just important, it's crucial for creating a business model that resonates with your audience to stand out in the market. So let's talk about making your business better, but here's the catch. Better should be defined by your customers, not by you. Implementing these systems in our businesses can give customers a sense of control and satisfaction they might not find elsewhere. But But the primary point here is to remember that the real product you're selling is that feeling customers come away with after doing business with you. In his live talks, Michael Gerber often likes to share the example of Disneyland in Anaheim, California, saying that people often rave about the cleanliness of that park, sometimes even more than talking about the attractions like Mickey or Goofy. Why is that? Well, because Disney created a meticulous system to steam clean the park every night, and that attention to detail, a detail that customers value, is part of what set Disney apart in a way that deeply resonates with people and keeps them coming back. So what does that mean for our businesses? Well, it's about building a brand and customer experience that's not just good, but remarkable. So people may actually remark to their friends later, "Wow, you wouldn't believe how clean Disney was." So that requires continuously striving to understand your customers' preferences and then build systems towards what they say they value. Now I'm going to connect this to another book. All this talk about being customer first brings one company to my mind, which is Amazon. Now, the most popular book on Amazon's business success and on Jeff Bezos is called The Everything Store. In that book, Bezos highlights a key difference between Amazon and other internet companies that failed, which is that while most companies focus on their competitors, Amazon obsesses over customers. Now, at first, that may sound like corporate talk, but when we look at Amazon's history, it's packed with these examples of customer-centric moves that others may have been too scared to make. Consider customer reviews. In the early 90s, they were almost unheard of, with many businesses fearing displaying negative feedback about their products, fearing that it may suppress sales. Jeff Bezos, however, saw the bigger picture. He believed that anything customers found helpful, even negative reviews, would ultimately benefit Amazon's position. So this kind of long-term customer-first mindset is a cornerstone of Amazon's massive success. So you can read more about that in our summary of The Everything Store by Brad Stone on Growth.me. So let's have another quiz question. In a customer-centric business model, the real product being sold is blank. Is it A, the physical item or service provided, B, the lowest price in the market, C, the feeling customers come away with, or D, the brand's reputation? So the answer is C, the feeling customers come away with. That's the real product in a customer-centric business model. So now let's finally wrap it up with a few action steps for how we can apply this book to our lives starting today. And this will mostly apply to people who have businesses or are self-employed. The first action step is to do a task audit. So review your daily tasks, what you do every day. Aim to reduce those technical tasks so you can shift more from being a technician to an entrepreneur or manager. Second action step is to have an efficiency hour. Each week, spend an hour refining your processes. You can brainstorm a few ways to potentially speed things up, to cut the fluff, or to automate steps of a process. As an example, for better productivity, many experts recommend batch checking emails only one or two times per day. Next action step is to delegate or automate. Try offloading one task this week to a team member, automation tool, or even AI. Next action step is to streamline a task. Grab a pen and paper, write down the steps for a regular task that you do, and then when you have it on paper, try to tweak it to make it as simple as possible. So this exercise is like your stepping stone for creating more streamlined procedures and training materials crucial for scaling up in the future. Next, we have creating a vision statement. Spend 15 minutes today to draft a one-page vision statement of where you see your business a year or two from now. And finally, we have customer feedback. Ask 5 customers for feedback this week and implement at least one suggestion. Remember that your business must deliver value from their perspective, not our own. Okay, hope you found this one useful, and I'll see you in the next one.